Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
It's super to have you join us for the show that aims to help and support Christians in leadership. We call it the Holy Land for good reason. The land of Israel today includes so much of the area that God had promised his people in the Old Testament. But you will know that actions in and around Israel have been far from holy. The so-called claims to rights of the land are made by the State of Israel, the Palestinian people, and with the Muslim community, believing parts of Jerusalem around the Temple Mount are holy to them. At various times, it's been a place of war, and it seems that hostility is not far away. And amidst all of this, people who worship Jesus from various denominations seek to bear witness to the one who is the true fulfillment of God's promises. In the 1950s, the Christian population of Jerusalem was more than 30,000. Today, it is under 10,000, despite the total population increasing by 300% during that time. Well, I'm joined on the Leadership Show by Anita Delhaas, who is the CEO of the International Community of the Holy Sepulchre, ICOHS. This is a non-political organization set up by the 13 Christian churches in the Holy Land. The mission is to work towards securing the presence of the Christian community in the Holy Land by building awareness, advocacy, and action within the larger international community of Christians. Anita worked with NGOs in Eastern Europe and in the Middle East. She's worked for World Vision International in senior positions involved in community development, microenterprise, fundraising, and advocacy. So great to have you on the Leadership Show, Anita.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you very much, Andy.
Well, I read your mission statement in my introduction. And obviously, listeners are part of the international community of Christians. So what do you want us to be aware of?
Well, I think ICOS really wants people to be aware of that Christians are leaving the Holy Land. And if we do not support them, the Holy Land might become one day like a Disneyland where there's just buildings with ancient stories, but not real people, not real Christians living in that part of the world.
Well, fair enough. And it's been obviously a steady flow from the 1950s, from what I've been reading.
Yes, it's really terrible. And the things have been just continuing to get worse. Not many people actually know that churches are burned in the Holy Land today. Priests are harassed for performing their spiritual services. Properties of the church are squatted by radicals. And there's just a mass immigration. People are just leaving. People are going to North, South America, to Europe, to Africa. People have other options. And that's really, really sad, because that actually, that place is the birthplace of our faith. And wouldn't it be strange having no Christians left in that place?
Well, maybe, Anita, we can unpack that a little bit later as we go along in our conversation. But of course, your name, the International Community of the Holy Sepulchre, connects, of course, with the holy site within Jerusalem.
Yes, that is correct. It's a difficult name, but it's a beautiful church with a beautiful history. This church is actually owned by different denominations. There are the Coptics, there are the Ethiopians, the Greek Catholics, the Catholics, the Greek Orthodox. A lot of churches have a little part of this larger church. So that's why our name is actually a symbol of kind of churches working together, as in the Holy Sepulchre.
And of course, we don't know for sure, but it would seem to be maybe certainly close to the crucifixion site of Jesus?
Yes, historically, people have proved that this is very close to where Jesus was crucified. There are different places. It's a huge church, actually, and it only has one entrance. And it's a very historical place where things have not changed since centuries. So it's really interesting to visit, and also very nice to see that all these churches kind of have fellowship there.
So Anita, you work with 13 Christian churches, and many who listen, I'm sure, will perhaps be part of interchurch gatherings or have tried to work with others. And, you know, it's a mixed blessing sometimes with different denominational focuses. What are the 13 churches clear about and what might they differ on?
That's a very good question, Andy, because it is not always easy to work together with all these different churches. But they're very clear that Christians need to remain in the Holy Land and that we need to support a flourishing Christian community. And that's what they're all trying to do. And more they've been coming together on things around issues around peace building, but also speaking out against violence. A couple of months ago in May, when the Al Jazeera journalist was killed, the churches really spoke up against all the violence at her funeral and came together and really said, this cannot happen, and actually went to the Israeli government to complain about that. So more and more, the churches are getting together around nonviolence, peacekeeping, and peacemaking, of course, and as well, just the fact that, yeah, there is a hurting Christian community right now in the Holy Land.
And that brings us, Anita, to the tricky question of why are Christians leaving? And I'm sure there are different narratives and different disputes about that very issue. Do you have a particular view?
Well, I think life has just become really hard. And COVID-19 has compounded this as well. Many people have lost their jobs. Christians, of course, typically are in the business of tourism, pilgrimages, hotels, hospitality, restaurants. And the last 2 years, hardly any tourists have made it to the Holy Land. So many, many of the people who own restaurants are in all sorts of businesses, selling souvenirs, taking people on tours, have really, really suffered. And it's just economically very, very difficult. And then compounded that again with the political situation. People just go and visit relatives and build up their lives somewhere else, which is really sad.
Well, I'm sure many would be shocked that in a what would be regarded as a democratic state, that so much violence is done against what would be a minority community, but nevertheless a community within the state of Israel.
Yes, that is very surprising. And again, I don't think this is anything the state necessarily inflicts on the Christians, but there's a lot of radical groups within the community who make life of Christians really difficult. And I have friends who shared stories about being spit on when going to church. At Easter, I personally experienced a lot of violence just going to the Holy Fire ceremony at church. We were pushed against the wall. We were screamed at, and we were just going to church. So it's just very awkward and unexpected, but this is happening. And that's why we as ICOS want to talk about this.
Sure. And are the state authorities concerned about this? So presumably they are informed about what's going on.
Oh, they're definitely concerned. And they're informed by the churches. The churches have formed a council, the Council of Churches in Jerusalem, and they do talk to the Israeli government and to different groups about this. So no, definitely the government is aware of this. But of course, they also have to act against these radical groups within society who are inflicting these difficulties on Christians.
So Anita, you're obviously CEO of this organization. What would you say were the key aspects of your role? What would an average week or an average month need to include?
Well, of course, as chief executive, my role is really to network with the churches, not only in the UK, in Brussels, but also with the churches in the Holy Land. I like to kind of set up advocacy activities. I just went to the summit in Washington, D.C., where we talked about religious freedom. Last week, there were ministerial meetings in England where ICOS was present. And earlier in the month of June, we went to Brussels to speak at the European Parliament. So my work really involves a lot of networking, speaking out and on behalf of the churches through advocacy. And of course, every organization needs funds to exist. So we do a lot of fundraising as well. And that's been quite difficult to raise funds for the Holy Land.
So Anita, you are no doubt draw from your experience in other roles. I mentioned in my introduction, you've worked with many NGOs in Eastern Europe and the Middle East.
Yes, and it's been wonderful to get that culture experience. The Holy Land is, of course, a Middle Eastern culture. I've worked and lived in Lebanon for a long time. So I gained a lot of benefit from that. But at the same time, I also think leading a team, working with people is really important, and conveying a message and being passionate about your work and about the cause I'm working for. So I think that's, as a leader, really important. It's people's business, but at the same time, it's also a business of the heart, and you have to put your heart and soul into a job to be successful.
You no doubt will have known the kind of job that you were being entering. But of course, sometimes the reality is different from the expectation of that. Has that been the case?
Well, just somebody last week in Washington, D.C. Told me, and he said to me, Anita, your job is impossible. And that's the beauty of it, because that's where then God comes in. And it's true. My job is impossible, working with the churches, working with the Christians is really, really difficult in this part of the world. And many people don't really know their issues. So actually having to explain that every time is really difficult. And as you know, there's, of course, several camps in the Christian world. Some people are very pro-Palestine, others are very pro-Israel. And as an organization, we want to be neutral. We want to be apolitical, and that's almost impossible. But that's where then God comes in. And there's a lot of space for God in my job. And I'm glad that I don't have to do it myself.
It reminds me of the saying, attempt something so great for God that it's doomed to failure unless he be in it. And it sounds like you've got that kind of kind of experience. Yes. So I appreciate that it may be difficult, therefore, to have any kind of metrics to know how you're doing. If I suppose there's the measure of funds coming in and of people being impacted, but have you got any metrics in your head?
Well, my kind of metrics for success is the people who are actually remaining in the country and saying, no, we do not need to leave because we actually have a job. We have an opportunity to bring our children to a Christian school and get them educated here in the country. And that is, of course, a measure of success. But we're quite a young organization. Therefore, we don't really have really very strong metrics. The only thing I want is this year to end and to be able to fund a project, which is about £100,000, which is not very much. But for a new organization, that is sometimes a challenge. So for me, a measure of success is doing an excellent pilot project in education, which we just started with the Greek Orthodox schools, and having at least 1,000 children be able to go to school and to finish their school. And we just need £100,000 for that. So that would be fantastic if we could actually achieve that this year.
Fabulous. And do you have other partnerships between Western churches, or when indeed churches from anywhere in the world, and churches in the Holy Land? Would that partnership kind of enable understanding to be increased and prayer to be made?
Very much so. And our desire is to actually bring pastors from the different churches and show them what's happening in the Holy Land. And many, many people have been already to Jerusalem and to Nazareth and to Bethlehem and seen these places and looked at the historical places. But I would love for these pastors to actually go and meet and speak with church leaders of today and hear their stories and see how challenging their lives at this moment is and what we can do to support them to remain in that land. So we're establishing a project called Bonds of Peace, where we would like to kind of strengthen the bonds between the churches in the West with the churches in the Holy Land. And we work with the Anglican Church. We work with several of the Greek Orthodox churches. I've had contact with the Coptic Church, the Armenian Church, the Lutheran Evangelical Church. So, every church can actually contribute, and every pastor should actually go and visit and to better understand how we can actually support our brothers and sisters in the place where our faith gave birth.
Now, it sounds terrific, Anita. And of course, I mean, I myself was able to visit the Holy Land a couple of times, first to Jerusalem and then secondly to more broadly within Israel, and benefited enormously. And I guess many like me will go for the sites to see where Jesus was and all that kind of stuff. But we can easily forget that there's a living community there, and that the vibrancy of them is also should be part of our concern. And if you can combine the two, then of course you have a hopefully a winner.
Yes, and your hearts will be stolen forever, because it's such a warm community, Christians in the Holy Land, and they do want to tell their story and they do want to embrace you as a visitor. But they also, I know from the times I've visited in the last month, value our prayers, because our prayers can change the situation and can make it easier so that their churches are better protected against people who put arson in it, and also kind of for the priest to be feeling protected when they go to their church and not being afraid to be spit on, and for the church properties to be actually kind of remained within the church and not being kind of squatted or sold to third parties. So no, there's a lot of things we can pray for very concretely, and it will make a big change for the Christians living there.
Anita, do you feel the international leaders of nations are sufficiently aware of your struggle? And if so, are they able to help?
They're definitely able to help. I think many people are aware of it, but it also means taking a very clear stand and making difficult choices, and not everybody is prepared to make these choices. It's not easy. To kind of come up and to be the voice of a minority within a minority. There's very strong voices who would like to have a country for one nation only, a city for one nation only. But that's not possible in Jerusalem. As you said in your introduction, Muslims have lived there, Jews have lived there, Christians have lived there forever. The strength of Jerusalem is in the combination of these people living there together, working together for the peace of the region. That's really very, very important. So I think leaders are aware of it, but it takes courage to stand for a minority like the Christians in Palestine and in the Holy Land.
You mentioned, Anita, you were at a conference for religious freedom. And of course, there's an international concern with particularly Middle Eastern countries, but others, that religious freedoms are not respected. The hope would be, of course, that a state like Israel would be able to enforce and encourage religious freedom.
Yes, indeed. I completely agree with you. And that's why it is really an important message to convey this message also to the Israeli government that, yes, for the peace of Jerusalem, it is really important that Jews, Christians, and Muslims can live there together and worship in their holy places, which they have shared for so many centuries already.
Anita, you must do a lot of traveling, and some of that obviously within the Holy Land. How many days a year would you expect to spend in the Holy Land?
Well, the last 2 years, not that many through the COVID.
Sure.
And yes, well, we have a team there as well. And my work is networking in different parts of the world. So we work all together. And I think if I can spend at least 4 weeks per year in the Holy Land, that would be really good. But I am more, I can be more of use outside of the Holy Land, telling their story than being there, because the churches are very capable of really catering to the needs of their communities as such, their daily needs. But at the same time, they need support, financial support in the field of education, medical care. And that's what I can do from outside of Israel.
So a final question, Anita, really is the practical support. And we've had this conversation, there'll be people, you know, listening around the world, but particularly in the UK, of course. Practical things that they might be able to do. No doubt you have a website they could visit.
Yes, definitely. Go to our website, which is www.icos.org. And there you can see the ways you can help. And right now, we really need support with our educational project. We have a pilot going on. You can read more about the pilot, some testimonies of students. But we would love for you to support us with our educational project. And during the COVID, we have been helping people with medical needs as well and economical needs. People are really kind of, it's been really two very tough years for them. So any support towards our projects is greatly appreciated, as well as prayer for my brothers and sisters in the Holy Land.
And you mentioned the bonds of peace. So that would be more a denominational thing, would it?
It is definitely interdenominational, but it is a project between churches in the West and in the Holy Land. And how can we actually visit? We have a first trip going as soon as September already to the Holy Land, and in February another one where church leaders can come together as a group, meet with the 13 official churches there, have conversations, pray together, and see how they can mutually support each other.
Fabulous. Well, it sounds like that might be something that certainly UK church leaders would be interested in doing, especially if they've never visited the Holy Land themselves.
Yes, sir. Most welcome. And yes, let us know. Drop us a line on our website or on our info account, and happy to book you on one of our upcoming trips.
Fabulous. Well, Anita, it's been terrific to chat with you. And I was going to say good luck with your impossible task, but the word luck is inappropriate. May God bless your efforts.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's been terrific to have you on the Leadership Show. Thank you for all that you shared.
You're most welcome. Thank you for your support as well, Andy.
It was a great joy to have Anita Delhaas as my guest today, CEO of the International Community of the Holy Sepulchre, ICOHS, and Delhaas is spelled D-E-L-H-A-A-S. It's alarming to think that the numbers of followers of Jesus is declining in the very place where he lived his earthly life. When we finished recording, Anita mentioned that Bishop Graham Tomlin is involved in the Bonds of Peace ministry that we spoke of in the conversation. You may know of Graham as the founder with others of St. Melitus College, and now, of course, Bishop. He has a book of that name, The Bonds of Peace, about generous orthodoxy. We laughed together about attempting something so great for God that it's doomed to failure unless God be in it. But it's that spirit of leadership is one that we value on this show. Throughout Scripture, God has specialized in taking the weakest and the smallest to do great things as they trust him. Think of the wandering nomads like Abram in the book of Genesis. You think of Gideon in Judges. You think of the nation of Israel against the mighty superpowers of its day. They had no right to exist. And yet in God's ways and in God's name, they did. Think of Elijah against the idol worshippers in Israel. And of course, Christ's followers in the early church against the Jewish leadership and within the Roman Empire against their persecution. And yet the church prevailed and outlived them all. So whatever you face, may you be encouraged to believe that God plus you is a majority. And providing you stay close to him and fight the battles he gives you, you will know victory too. So do go to the website, icohs.org, the website that Anita mentioned. There's an opportunity to donate, to provide prayer support, and to connect with them. And maybe, who knows, a trip to the Holy Land to see the sights and meet the believers might be on the cards for you very soon. The Leadership Show, of course, is a weekly show on Premier Radio and available online in a podcast format. So do check out other shows by going either to the website or the podcast platform where you get this from. Log on and check other shows by guest or by topic. People listen from all around the world. There were 100 or so nations last time I looked. So do feel free to pass on the news of the Leadership Show to friends and colleagues if you feel that they may benefit from it. So this is Andy Peck, your host, thanking you for joining us this week and looking forward to the next time. God bless.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.